Blog Talk Radio.
I know. Pastor Lionel Richie this morning in Jesus' love. And I often say Lionel saying that thing like he know what he talking about, like he done had an experience, like he know it for himself. Oh, yeah. And so we thank God this morning for another Saturday morning. This is a special edition. This is an exclusive today. We have with us Big Amp, the quarterback, and I'm excited this morning to have him here and to talk with him and everything. And Amp is down my way. And Amp talking the talk and walking the walk, and I'm good with him this morning. And so we're going to hear from him very soon. We're going to have our morning prayer, and we're going right in today to talk about Big Amp and to talk with Big Amp, the quarterback. That's all right, right there. So listen, let's pray, and then we're moving right in with Big Amp. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this day. Thank you for another Saturday, a brand new day. Thank you, Lord, that you watched over us as we slumbered and slept last night. You woke us up closed in our right minds. We have the use and activities of all our limbs, our life, our health, and our strength. And we're grateful unto you this morning for your almighty God who have all power. And all power is on our side today. Your word said, if you be for us, you're more than the whole world against us. And we're grateful unto you. You look beyond our fault and yet meet our needs. And we're grateful for that. Father, we thank you this morning. Oh, yeah. No matter what, you're for us. No matter what, you so loved us that you sent your only begotten Son, that if we'll believe on you, we won't perish, but have everlasting life. We thank you this morning, Father, for considering the good, the bad, and the ugly. There's none that you can't fix. There's none that you can't give a change of heart. And we're grateful unto you. We come this morning asking, Father, that you would bless every caller and every listener, those coming through the podcast and the archives and our brothers and sisters overseas and wherever they come in through today, God. We ask that you would bless them. Bless this segment of Jesus in the morning. God, we ask that you would bless Amp today. You know what he's standing in need of. You know his heart's desires. And God, we ask that you would move for him. Bless him for being willing to come and do the interview today. We thank you this morning for all you've added to us, all you've given to us. We thank you, Lord, and we ask that you would open doors for him and make ways for him. In the name of Jesus, bless those that are sick. Heal today, God. We know that you took a beating for the healing of the nation, and as yet healing in the hem of your garment. You heal all manner of sickness and disease. Do it today for your people. In the name of Jesus, remember those that are incarcerated. Father, we ask this morning that you would bless them, those that are there that are sick. God, bless this morning. Heal the CEOs there, the administration. God, give them a soft heart, a heart of flesh, that, God, they could be mindful that it could have been them, it could have been their children, their family members. So, Lord, we ask that you would move with them in a mighty way today. Bless those that are in every branch of the military. Father, remember widowers today. Remember those that are bereaved, God, have family members that they lost. Bless those that are intercessory prayer people, preachers everywhere, preaching in the name of Jesus in obedience unto you and love for your people. Father, we ask that you would bless children everywhere this morning. Loose your protecting angels to protect children. Keep them from all hurt, harm, or danger. And Father, it's not our will today, but it's your will that must be done. We ask that you would bless Israel and prosper Jerusalem. Continue to bless America and the leadership of America. And, Father, we ask that you would have mercy on every American this morning and draw us back to you wholeheartedly. In the name of Jesus, bless this segment of Jesus in the morning again. Have your way here today. Lord, bless in a mighty way today. In the name of Jesus, we ask it all. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering our prayers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So listen, we're going to get right into it with Big Amp. And Amp, tell us a little bit about Amp.
Okay. Well, you know, a long time ago, I used to be a recording artist. And then after that, I went on to work in distribution, you know, for 14 to 15 years. And so from there, I kind of evolved in terms of working independently for a bunch of independent labels, kind of helping, you know, the artists get to the next level in the Southeast region. You know, throughout the course of that, I've always been an entrepreneur, you know, kind of, you know, the different things that was going on. You know, one time I had a cell phone business. One time I had home phones. I had beepers. I did things through the Department of Children and Families in terms of a group home. So, you know, during the course, I've always been a business fan as well.
Okay, okay. Sound like business to me. Sound like entrepreneurship to me. And, you know, that day is a great thing. And people that come up a little bit, you know, I want to say behind my era, a lot of those people come up to be entrepreneurs. They decided, I don't want to punch nobody else's time clock but my own. And if this business don't work, I'm going to try another business. If that one don't work, I'm going to try another business. But it educates you, and it gives you an independence and a self-worth for yourself on your own. I can do this, you know, and I'm going to keep trying until I really find the one that, you know, is really going to work for me. So you promote artists, you promote talent.
Yes, marketing and promotions and branding is kind of special to me, and it's one of the things that I'm pretty passionate about. So it kind of comes effortless to me because, one, I used to be an artist. And so with that being said, I got a special love and a special connection with them. And oftentimes throughout the promotional process, I kind of end up indirectly mentoring them and being able to go through some of the feelings and emotions that they're going through at that time. I can kind of identify with it, which is one of the reasons why the different investors and the different labels have kind of entrusted their artists or their projects or their entities in my hands. And I kind of take pride into that because at the end of the day, this, and we call it, you know, the entertainment business or the game, one of the things about it, you know, the seasons change, but a lot of the basic fundamentals, you know, they kind of stay consistent. So the marketing, you know, the promotions and the branding in the Southeast region, so the bottom half of the United States, you know, we pretty fluent, we pretty well known.
Okay. So now I read that utilizing his industry connections and combined expertise in all things music, Big App has become a powerhouse that can help prepare artists, labels, and companies alike to independent music greatness. And that is a great thing because a lot of people, you know, I want to be under your label, or I want you to be my manager, my promoter, my publicist, or whatever. But I just can't put this into anybody's hand. You know, I got to find somebody I can really trust. So when it comes to Big App and Big App being a powerhouse, well, this is where I'm going. So now tell us a little bit about the experience of Big App. When they first come to you, what takes place and that kind of thing?
Well, that's a great question. The real answer is every project is different because sometimes people come to me, they might have an investor and they need a project put together, meaning they might need the production, they might need the post-production, they might need writers. So they might actually need the material. Or sometimes people come to me and they actually have the material, but it's not recorded correctly. Or they have never been inside of a real studio, or they've never had anybody to help critique and bring the most out of them. Or sometimes people come to me and they're only relevant in a certain area and they want to add on to it. So it just depends on what each project specifically needs. And then that's, you know, we make the assessment, and then me, the management, the label, and the investors agree on which route to pursue. And I'm one of the differences between my company and some of the other companies out there is, yes, I come up with the plan, but I'm also there to implement the plan. So I don't just give you the plan and run off and say, hey, you know, I hope it works. That's how I've been able to establish different relationships that kind of turned into long-term relationships that was mutually beneficial for both parties.
Okay, and I also read that Big Amp has worked with such acts as Get Fresh Crew, Mook Boy, Kodak Black, the companies such as Divine Records, GDC Entertainment, IMG, and the Gainesville Music Summit. His range and work ethic is unparalleled. So look, these big names are a Big Amp.
That's only a couple of them, Mom, because it's you know, recently it's no different than you know, of course I've done all types of projects from gospel to blues to rap into R&B, but my three most notable projects, in my opinion, Rashida, before she got on Love and Hip Hop. Not only did we work together, but I was responsible for basically bringing her back in terms of notoriety in Georgia. So we actually did a South Georgia tour that I put together. Before Plies got to Slip and Slide, before anybody knew him in Florida, period, that was my project as well. And when nobody knew who Kodak Black was when he was 14 and 15, it got brought to my attention to introduce him to the North Florida area, and after that, then it kind of started to take wings from there.
Okay. So now, say I come to you and I can sing. I can really sing. You know, I'm here, right? And I wrote this song myself. But once Big kid, he know, okay, this might be a go right here, or this is a go. So Big Amp kind of take you under his wings, kind of, sort of, and guide you through and get you to where you need to get. Because I heard you say once you get with a label, a record label.
Right.
You know, you don't just come off, but you know, continue to work with them, you know, so that they're getting, you know, what they should be getting. And get to the point
right.
where they need to
be. Right. And one of the things that we have to realize is the climate has changed in terms of, you know, back in the day, we had to depend on the labels to do everything. And then labels actually did look for talent and sign artists. But the new way that the entertainment game has changed, and this is just like deregulation in any other business, is now they want to see the artist do some work. They want to, basically, they're trying to get the artist to function as a label and test their product. And the only reason that I agree with that is there's so many different avenues and there's so many different resources that's available to artists now. So you get a chance to see who actually really wants it and who would be a worthwhile investment. And it's no different than with the social media. If you are making noise, for real, the algorithm will let people know and other opportunities will come. So I encourage every artist to get organized, you know, assemble a team and invest in themselves, because the people that got the millions of dollars and the companies that you would like to align with, one of the first two things that they're going to do is they're going to know what you did. And then secondly, they're going to know who you're affiliated with. And those are going to be the two most contributing factors as to whether they decide to align with you.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, too. And, you know, you'll get to that because of this. It gives the person a chance to educate. It gives them a chance to walk it through and to see what really happened. So if, let's say, someone in their family, they can sing too or they can rap really good, then they can, you know what to do before these people come along. You know, they may say, well, put me on, you know, and then they can, you know, they can help them out. So, yeah, I'm down with that. So now you in North Florida and South Georgia. Those are your areas.
Right. Well, I physically stay in Tampa, Florida, but I'm originally from Gainesville, Florida. So we have a studio in Daytona. Well, actually, D-Land, but we always say Daytona because that's one of our, you know, kind of prominent areas. I have another studio that I work at, that I work with in Jacksonville, and a studio that I work with in Gainesville. And, of course, when I'm in Tampa, you know, I just kind of take my pick. But we, the southeastern region is where we dominate. So it's like I could go to New York and I could maneuver, or I could put in some phone calls and I could still make a few things happen. But these bottom 12 states, like, this is home.
Okay. Are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I heard it go silent. Okay, so now you can work all over the country, really, if you choose to, you know, a simple phone call or email, and you get some information back, and, you know, you could pull somebody from, like you said, New York or New Jersey, you know, and work with them as well. So that's the wide open market for him, because he's a expert for any independent artist or label looking to create a presence. This is what he does. Yeah. And humble. This is what I liked about him. When I first talked to him, he was so humble. And he wasn't arrogant or pumped up. You know, I'm big after quarterback. And he didn't come like that. You know, he just come as a plain down-to-earth common person. And y'all know that's my thing right there. That's my thing. And I like that kind of presence, because it won't make people fear or make people be nervous or afraid of you. You know, some people, he's such a big person. I don't know what to say. But the way that he come, you know, anybody can talk to him. I feel like anybody can talk to him. Now, I got a question for you from someone. They want to know this, Amp. Are you married? We knew that was coming.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Yeah, okay. Say that again.
No, I said that was funny to me.
Okay, all right. So, yeah, he's married now, so y'all back off. Cut it out. So he's just a great person. That's first and foremost. And that's what I look for, you know, in the people that I bring to Jesus in the Morning Radio. I want to bring good people and people that's down to earth, comfortable to talk to. You know, they're professional and everything, but yet they're human beings, and they bring it that way, you know, according. And so he was an artist himself first. Amp, can you tell us some of your tunes that you put out when you were an artist?
Well, you know, it's definitely been so long ago, but the three songs that did extremely well, this is going to sound funny now, but in 93 I had a song called Child Support, and then in 91 I remade Dancing in the Streets, you know, the old song from back in the day, and then in 97 I had a song called The Squirrel. And so basically, you know, we, of course, I don't like to talk about my artist days, but you know, I traveled. Like, when I was in high school, I traveled, and I was actually on tour with Luke throughout the Southeast. So, you know, at 17, when everybody else was going to school, I was getting back in town Monday morning, like 5 a.m., to get to school at 7 o'clock. So it's like, you know, I've definitely, you know, been around for a while and kind of been hands-on.
Yeah. Now, I remember that squirrel. I remember that. Yeah. But we're interviewing this morning with Big Amp, the quarterback. Now, where you get the quarterback name from? Tell us about that.
Well, it's kind of funny. technically, you know, my position, like if somebody really looked at my position, I'm more like a coach than a quarterback. But the industry started calling me the quarterback because whether it was rap, whether it was R&B, whether it was blues, even with old school and things of that nature, they felt like I always had the ball. So the industry just started calling me the quarterback because when people would have questions, and that's before it was kind of cool to network. It's kind of cool to network now because we understand that that kind of has something to do with your network. So I kind of was always, I guess, in a favorite position. But what people didn't realize is I talk, I work for real, I keep my word, and I know a lot of people and a lot of people know me. So it's not something that I did to always create some of these great situations, because whether it's Plies or whether it's Kodak Black or whether it's Kaya or Trina, all of those situations came to me. Like, really, they were brought to me, to be honest with you. And it's no different than how I got on the phone with you. And that's how come I always ask people, well, how did you hear about me? And so I became the quarterback just because I was physically always the person that had the ball or had the opportunity or that was making the plays. And so the industry kind of gave me that name and it kind of stuck.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You always had the plays, you see.
Uh-huh.
And you could get the plays and win the game. And that's what that's what they want to see for their team. They want to see you winning. So you always won for people. Yeah. And that's a beautiful thing. Now, I heard you mention Trina, and when you mentioned Trina, that's a big name in Florida. Well, it's big all over, but if you mention Trina in Florida, even church people know who Trina
is. Oh, yeah, no doubt, because they trust me, they wasn't always in church, and that's another thing that I do with my walk and with the people that I deal with. I don't want to listen to or hear nobody that ain't never did nothing and that never been nowhere, because at the end of the day, we all human. And then even in the word, it says nobody perfect but that man. So with that being said, it's no different than now, even with some of the rappers, the younger rappers that I get a chance to deal with now. They tell the other rappers, like, look, you know, if you ride, you know, they call me Mr. Amp, you know what I'm saying, or Mr. Quarterback. They say, you know, Mr. Quarterback, don't smoke around Mr. Quarterback, or don't talk like that around Mr. Quarterback. So they still give me respect, so it lets me know that regardless to what I do, I still get a chance to make an impact because they don't want to do the bad stuff around me. So it let me know that they see something different, you know, with what I do, even though I'm in their, you know, particular field.
Well, I saw too, I'm going back to it now, I saw too on your website, you know, you was talking about you get it done and everything, and, you know, God bless you. And so, you know, with that, you know, people, a lot of people who are real believers in God, they understand this is your work, this is not who you basically, you know, you just gleam in this and this only, but you have, you know, many different sides to make a balance to yourself. And balance, many in the industry, they balance their life, but they balance it with God being first because they knew that it was God that allowed them to get to where they are. And then secondly, they have to give God his just due. And I know a lot of churches, they don't feel like entertainers or artists, you know, because of the work that's being done. They feel like, oh, no, they're going to hell, this and that. But what I learned over the years through God is that he gave the talent. That's where they get the talent from. In the church industry, you have people that they call prophets and prophetess. In the world, they call them palm readers. So when you go to the palm, the palm reader reads it. But in the church world, it's the prophet or prophetess, and they get the message for you from God. So it's kind of like that. But this is what was said on your website. This is my brand. I built it. God blessed it, you see. So in other words, he's telling you, I really, you know, can't say I'm doing all of this on my own, but this
is desired
for me to do, and God stepped in, and he blessed it. So he took me to places where I needed to go. And now, you know, I can say I'm a successful promoter, businessman, entrepreneur, or whatever you want to say. All of that is in this big ball that God has blessed me with. And, yeah, that's a beautiful thing. Now, it says that utilizing his industry connections and combined expertise in all things, again, Big Amp has become a powerhouse that can help artists, labels, companies alike, the independent music greatness. And this part here is a great part for me because of this. This is what he can do for you. If you want to be an independent artist, you want to get on a label and you really have talent, he can take you to that next level. You know, he can take you to where you really need to be and not just drop you off, but he can walk with you. You know, he can stay with you a while. I'm sure eventually, you know, somewhere in there you got to turn them loose and, you know, let them do what they got to do, but somewhat maybe he's always there for you. If you got a call, you know, a question, you can call him or something like that. And he can help you out. So if you have family members, friends, or you know somebody that have great talent and they want to pursue their talent, I recommend you get a hold of a Big Amp and see what y'all can work out. What you say, Big Amp?
No, but definitely, I'm definitely approachable. Talk to me, I talk back. And there have been a lot of people that I have just gave some information to just because, and it has came full circle in one or two ways. Either they ended up doing some business with me, or we established a relationship, and they ended up helping me market another artist in their particular area, or they knew some people that had everything they needed but the know-how, and they still put us together. Because in this whole new era that we're in right now, and the old people used to always say it, but, you know, we didn't listen. They used to say, sometimes it ain't what you know, it's who you know. And we really took that for granted. And now that's more relevant than ever.
Yes, yes. And that is true. I believe that is true. A lot of times it's not what you know, it's who you know. And like you said, you know, you may have a certain part, but you don't have the complete thing. And you got to go over here and get a little bit and go over there a little bit, you know, get a little bit to get to what you want or the desire that you have to be in the industry. And I like entertainment myself. The church saw that it was people liked it so much. Even the church started, which I don't agree with, but the church started putting entertainment in the church. And the word said my house will be called the house of prayer. It's a sacred, holy place. And I think that if you want entertainment, you need to go outside and get your entertainment, because you go up in this house to praise and worship, get the word so you can live according to the word and grow in God so that when he returns, you're prepared to go back with him. But I like entertainment. You know, I like music. I like movies. I like poetry. You know, a number of entertaining things that keep us going. And right now we got this pandemic thing going on. So a lot of artists is doing stuff from home, but yet they're entertaining. And, you know, you could find YouTube videos and all of this, you know, that's entertaining. Someone told me this, Amp, with this virus out here, nobody's doing concerts. Nobody's doing this. Look, would you agree that the artists still go in the recording studio and still record?
Yes, well, and let me say this. Throughout history, and, you know, we have, as a people, have always made a way. And so, again, this too shall pass. But to answer your question, it's not as open as it was, but yes, artists have had to find a way to stay busy, to stay in tune, and to still reach their fans. And keep in mind, social media. Because of social media, we laugh and we kind of take it for granted, but the average 10-year-old has a smartphone. And with that being said, the little iPhones that we buy all these kids, they still get a chance to engage and stay in touch with these artists. It's just that the pandemic has forced the artists to take their craft and their brand a little more serious because of some of the avenues that have got cut off. So now the artists actually got to work. And that's the, and it's unfortunate that it took the pandemic to do that, because when you are an artist and when you are a label, then you also have a brand. McDonald's is one of the biggest brands almost ever, and they still promote every day. They got a commercial on TV every day. They got a commercial on the radio every day. Why? Because they don't want you to forget or confuse their brand. And so I just think that as we have smaller brands, that eventually we want to be bigger, we just have to practice that and run it as such, in my opinion.
That's a good thing right here you just said. Because if you don't want to be forgotten and you want to grow in your business, you got to be faithful at it every day. Every day. I do Jesus in the Morning radio Monday through Friday. But on Saturday and Sunday, I'm still looking for stuff to bring Jesus in the Morning out so that it's not forgotten. I'll be back on Monday, you know. I'm doing something somewhere, either social media, emails, messages, something to remind the people. And artists need to keep doing that. If God removed this pandemic, keep doing it. Yeah.
Right. 100%.
Wait, say that again, Al.
No, I said I'm with you when you're right now.
Okay, now. All right, now. Yes.
You when you're right.
I am too. I am with you when you're right. I can't be with you when you're wrong, but I can
no,
be
I can't
with
be
you
with
when
you.
You're right.
That's
yes,
right.
Sir. Yes, sir. So you was telling me earlier that you get down to North Florida quite often.
Right. I have various partners at different things. And so basically, like once every 10 days, I have to run a route to where I stop in Gainesville. Most of the times I stop and do some work in the Jacksonville area and come back up 95 to Daytona and D-Land, and then, you know, come home. Jacksonville is one of those places that the people there tend to take it for granted for whatever reason, but it's an extremely resourceful place, and it's definitely a gateway out of Florida. And I've just had, you know, a lot of, I guess I'll say, success in that area just over the last 20, 30 years, you know, just, you know, in general. So I got clients there from all walks of life, white, black, Jews, Colombians, clubs, you know, artists, labels, you know, different other brands and entities. So I love that 904 market, and, you know, I don't have nothing but good things to say about it.
And I will agree, you know, because many people have said Jacksonville is a place that supports nothing. But I saw Jacksonville support entertainment in a big way. Have a concert. Have a come together day and see what you get.
Right.
Yeah, you get a wonderful turnout.
Right, and not to cut you off, it's no different than Funkfest goes all around the United States, but it was started right there in Jacksonville. And one of the things that I noticed is, and I'm glad you brought that up, I just want to touch on this one thing. The people that sit around and say that there's no support, the first thing that we got to look at is this. If there is no support, why for you? And the reason why I don't deal with the word hate or I don't deal with the words they won't or they won't let me and those phrases and trying is because I'm a no-nonsense kind of guy. And sometimes if you walking in your purpose and this is what you really supposed to be doing and you really putting forth the effort, then something is going to happen. That don't mean you're going to score a touchdown, but I believe you'll have positive yardage and you'll get a first down. And the things that I want to say to the audience is this. From a joke and a comedian standpoint, the comedians say if a bunch of people is in the crowd, one person start running, you know, just for the joke and just to be funny, people don't ask no questions. Everybody start running. Well, I believe that applies in business as well for two reasons. Sometimes when you're moving in a positive direction, it's other people that wanted to make that same move, but they knew that they wasn't going to persevere by themselves, so they might have been afraid to take those first steps. That's how come everybody starts to want to help you once you're starting to move forward, because a lot of people don't want to be first and a lot of people don't want to be the lead. With that being said, everybody wants to be a winner. That's just the way that society is. So, of course, when you're winning or look like you're moving, then people try and join you anyway. What I want people to be able to do is recognize an opportunity when it's presented and be prepared to move on an opportunity when it's presented, and also be able to recognize what's going on around you. Because a lot of times, if we're not in the right mood or the right mindset, or we got our fist balled up, or if we acting out of emotion, then we might just not be ready to receive at that time. And that's not somebody that's hating on you. That's not society won't let you do this. That's you're not prepared to seize the opportunity. So that's my take.
And I know this, Jacksonville really, the residents really are friendly people. It's just that, you know, some people are friendly, just friendly, and then some, once they get to know you, they become friendly to you. And
right.
I'm born and raised there. It's
okay.
A new Jacksonville from the Jacksonville I come up in. It's a whole totally different Jacksonville, but with time, everything must change. With time, everything will change. Nothing will stay the same. So Jacksonville has changed. I've been all over the place, you know, Missouri, Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, Arkansas, Alaska. I've been some all kind of places, but as they said on The Wizard of Oz, there's no place like home. So I always end up, you know, coming back home. And I came back home, and it was a whole new Jacksonville, especially after the Super Bowl came. I noticed a great difference. And so I kind of had to move on outskirts, as we call it, of town. But I still go to Jacksonville. I still shop in Jacksonville sometimes. There are a lot of great shopping places where I live, but I always go to Jacksonville because it's familiar territory. Yeah.
Right.
And so you have a lot of great people there. I was told recently that George Clinton, he lives in Jacksonville. So, you know, and people come there because it used to be a quiet, calm place, and they said way behind time, but things wasn't moving so fast back during those days. But like I said, it's a new Jacksonville, and things are moving a bit faster than, you know, the old norm. So,
right.
I like it. There's no place like home. So, look, now, Big App, when you're coming back up here again and you have a few minutes, you want to give me a call and let me know you're coming, and maybe we can meet for lunch or something, or just meet, you know, just meet.
Okay.
Because you're in the
okay,
area.
Well, we definitely find us some old shrimp and cheese grits now. We're going to definitely make that happen.
Wait a minute, now, Amp. You're speaking my language now. Wait a minute, now. And if you're not careful, I can make cheese.
Hey, look, now, listen to me. Don't play with the cheese now. Like, if you don't know what you're doing, now, just stay on out of there. Now, you can't be coming there with no one slice. I'm worried about food costs and all that right there. If you're going to make cheese grits now, you got to make them.
Well, wait a minute, I'm from the old school. I'm an old girl. I've been in that kitchen quite a while now. I just finished up yesterday. And look at CR done jumped over here talking about we love groceries. Look at her.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But look. I know you've checked Jenkins Barbecue out. It's not like it used to be, but have you checked that out?
Yes, I did. Because, like I said, I'm in Jacksonville quite a bit. It's just that I try not to make a lot of noise when I'm there, because sometimes people get offended when you don't. Jacksonville big. You can't make every stop that you want to make, and not in one trip. And so sometimes when people hear that I'm in the studio recording, then some of the other studios will want me to come by and see their facilities. But it's like, Jacksonville at the wrong time of day, you're going to spend an hour in traffic. And so, most of the times I'm on the south side, and usually I'll stay on the outskirts just so I don't be in the riffraff. But, yeah, definitely. I want to say 3 weeks ago I went to Jenkins. And as a matter of fact, the early part of this year, the artist Ball Greasy came to town, and I took him to Jenkins and let the people meet him, and they got a chance to do autographs and pictures and things of that nature. So, I definitely still give shine to our minority businesses as well, indirectly.
Okay, I got you. Yeah, for me, there's nothing like that old Jenkins. I was living in Alabama, and I drove from Birmingham to Jacksonville to get because in Alabama they had a mustard-based sauce, and Jenkins have a mustard-based sauce. So I had to come home and get that taste I was used to.
No doubt about it.
And there's still, some of the smaller mom-and-pop, places still open here, but the majority went out, Burger King and Kentucky Fried and McDonald's and all them, kind of put them out of business. But there are a few, still left around where you can get a soul food meal and that kind of thing. Yeah. And so I just had guests last weekend from Idaho and New Berns, North Carolina. The one from Idaho had never been to the beach, so I took them down to Jacksonville Beach and Neptune Beach.
Okay.
So they put their feet in his thing.
That's it. Get a little salt water. A little salt water.
Uh-huh. And that's just what we call it. We going to the salt. Hey, you going
that's
to the
it.
Salt?
That's
ride down
that's
there.
It.
I'll get my ride back. Just give it to the salt. Yeah. And
I'm
that's
telling you, a little salt water never hurt nobody.
No, sir. It'll help you if anything. It helped me.
That's
it. Yeah. So I'm just grateful and for this interview. Grateful to have met you and got the opportunity to speak to you a little bit and get the chance to interview you today. And this is Big Amp, the quarterback. So if you got relatives, friends, or you know someone and you know they have real talent, now we're not talking about nobody talking about they got it and they don't, but they really have talent, then you want to go to get a hold of Big Amp, the quarterback, and see if he can help them in some kind of way. Now, Amp, if you have a website or something you want to give out, please feel free. Please feel free.
Okay, and also, my business also does business consulting, and of course I'm a social media strategist. So it's not just for artists or just for companies. Like, it took me a while to find out what my God-given talent was and what separated me from the other people that do what I do. When it comes to business, like, I pretty much can kind of come in and help with the structure or infrastructure or furthering the brand of almost any business once I find out what they're doing. or what they have done. But definitely, I'm definitely accessible. The easiest way to reach me is Instagram, which is BigAmp1, because I do check my messages daily. However, Facebook is what I'm on all the time. I get the alerts directly to my phone. And on Facebook, I have two pages. One is called Mr. Bring the Whole City Out, and then one is my government name, which is Anthony G. Parker. So definitely hit me, talk to me, I talk back. And even if you don't know exactly what you're trying to do, sometimes, and I want to close by saying this, sometimes indirectly you meet people for a reason and it's not clear or apparent right then. But as you get more into dialogue and in the conversation, then it becomes clearer of, you know, why y'all crossed each other's path. That's one. And number two is I don't take for granted when I meet people because I'm not one of those people that think that the word or the blessing is only going to come from up high. Because I have been in the middle of a nightclub before, and a guy who everybody else thought was intoxicated actually gave me a word. And in the process of him giving me the word, he said, I know you not listening to me because I'm smoking. He said, but something told me, he didn't say God. I'm going to give him his props. He didn't lie on God. He said, something told me to come and tell you this. And he might not know it, but he actually, and I don't want to use the word prophesize, but he actually opened my eyes to something, and he spoke life on me, because the next day I went and looked it up in the Bible of what he was telling me about the increase and the decrease. And even though he was in a nightclub and he was intoxicated, when I looked it up, what he told me was right. And then two or three things happened within 2 days of that. And when I saw him 2 weeks later, and I asked him, do he remember what he said? He did remember what he said, but he said, man, something just told me to tell you that. And I don't, you know, and I definitely don't want to insult the clergy in no way, shape, form, or fashion, because I'm a true believer. But that young man, we ended up establishing a relationship now that's been a 10-year relationship. And so, again, you know, everybody going to shine their light a different way. Everybody going to walk their walk. And I'm hoping that we all putting good into the universe. But you can get a word from a place where you least expect it.
Now, let me share this with you. Let me share this with you, Big Al.
Okay.
I was in Orlando. I had been in the church, had gotten saved, received the Spirit of the Lord and everything. And I was in Orlando, and this was like in my early part of 93, because that's when I first come to the Lord in the fullness.
Okay.
And so I went to several clubs, but they was playing just rock and roll kind of pop kind of stuff, new wave, new age. I couldn't dig it. So I was looking for somewhere to play down-home blues. You could, you know, buy a beer and sit in there and drink your beer, a glass of wine or something, and listen to the music. Plus, I was looking for a live band. So I ended up on Silver Star. Wait, say that again.
I said, I understand. I know about the live band now.
Okay. So I ended up on Silver Star and OBT at a little club, little hole in the wall. So I'm sitting in there, and I done had them beer and everything, and I get another one, and, you know, the band come up and playing Mustang Sally and all of that. So after the band, they made an announcement they were selling food outside. I don't eat everybody cooking, but I wanted to go out there and see what they were doing, you know, because I love to cook and I'm just into food. I'm a foodie. So I goes out there and I see, you know, how they got everything set up nice and everything. So after I saw what I wanted to see, I'm headed back into the club, but this lady was heading out the club and she was intoxicated. She was drunk. Yes, she was. She said, hey. And I looked, and she got up in my face. She said, you do what I do. She said, you from Jacksonville, Florida, and you here working. She said, and look, I'm going to tell you this. This person came to you and asked you for some money for the light bill. They didn't want to use the money for the light bill. They wanted to buy drugs, and you knew that's what they wanted to do, but you gave them the money anyway. She said, but God going to give the money back to you, and guess what? You won't be back here after this. Now, look, this woman, and then she told me this. She said, and one day I'm going to see you again, but when I see you, it'll be in Jacksonville. As they say, Aunt, this woman didn't know me from a can of paint. But what she told me was the absolute truth. I was
right.
Like, oh, my goodness. I got scared.
Right.
So I ran across the street, and I called a cab because I had, well, how did I get there? I ran across the street and called a cab because I was catching cabs to these different clubs.
Right.
I called the
wasn't
cab.
No Uber back then.
Wasn't no Uber, just regular cabs. I ran across the street in the dark, and that's not me. I don't run up in no dark. Ran across the street in the dark, and during this time, we could use phone booths. Cell phones wasn't as popular. I just dialed the zero for the operator. I said, look, I'm in the dark. I can't see the phone book to get the number. Can you call a yellow cab for me? She said, yeah, hold on. Got the yellow cab, gave him my information where I was. The cab came. When the cab got there, I jumped in that cab and rolled out. On my way to the house, I said, Lord, what was that? God said, wherever you go, I'm going with you. If you go to the bar, I'm going. If you go to the club, I'm going. If you go to my house, I'm going. If you go to work, I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
After that night, that scared me out. I said, oh, no, I can't. Mm-hmm. And she said, you'll never come back here again. After that, I said, oh, no more clubbing for Barb. I can't take God up in the club like this. And so I never did go back. Yeah, and haven't been clubbing since. But that just showed me he can use anything, Al. He can use chicken. He used that chicken for Peter. He told Peter before the crow before the cock crowed three times, you're going to deny me. He used a chicken. He used a whale. Jonah ended up in the belly of the whale. He used a donkey.
Right.
He told him to go down there and get the donkey. And if they ask you why, you tell them the Lord have need of it. So if he can use a chicken, a whale, and a donkey, he can use anything.
That's
and
right
I was
now.
Just sharing it. I think it was day before Thursday. It's not what go in you that defile you. It's what comes out of you. Yeah. So she was drunk, and that was going to pass. But she came and straight up prophesied to me. That's what that was.
Right, and I just didn't want to use the words. But if you keep this in mind, we was in the middle of the club. I'm talking about like it's during like the classic or something like that. So it's 2,000 people in there. Everybody talking, the music playing, and I'm talking about he had enough sense. Me on my shoulder, he turned me around, he was looking me in my face, and I'll never forget what he said. He said, man, you're not like them. He said, you're a good person. He said, it's okay. He said, you done seen the decrease. He said, but bruh, get ready, because you about to see the increase. Now, I know that sounds real, real funny, because we was in the middle of the club, but I honestly didn't know what the increase and the decrease was as it pertained. You know what I'm saying, to the word, to be real, which I hadn't got that far. You know, I ain't see it in Proverbs, so I ain't see it. So then later on, like the very next day, that thing bothered me. And I went and I started looking it up. And sure enough, it made me, and I don't know what I was supposed to get out of it, but it made me enjoy both sides of the journey and understand that the decrease was part of the journey as well. Now, that's what I got out. And that helped my mindset from then on.
Now, I'm going to tell you another time, too. I was right there on OBT and Colonia, West Colonia. They had a supper
look,
club.
You're going to stop being in West Orlando. Now, I know what you're talking about, Highway 50. I know what you're talking
about. Okay, Highway 50. All right, now. Oh, Dorothy Goodman on here this morning. That's where she at in Orlando. I was right there on 50 and OBT. No. 50 and John Young. I was right there on 50 and John Young.
JYT.
Yeah, back in the day. at a supper club there. So me and a couple of friends, we go to the supper club. And we sat to the table, and the wait, you know, the waiter come and get our drink orders and everything. And in a few minutes, she was coming back to get the food order. But in a few minutes, Stomp come on by Kirk Franklin.
Oh, watch out now.
I got so excited, I didn't know what to do, and I didn't know why. So I get up on the floor by myself to dance. A lady came and got me by the hand, and we were stomping. Abdu, you know, I felt the spirit of the Lord while I was stomping, and that woman felt it too. And we looked at each other, because I know what she was thinking. Hey, we in here, you know what I'm saying? We come to please the flesh. But God done showed up on the scene.
Uh-huh.
So after, I go back to the table, and my two friends, they said, Barbara. I said, yeah. They said, the spirit of the Lord was on y'all in that stomp move. I said, y'all saw that too? They said, yeah, we saw it too. And I'm sure some other people in there saw it, you know, but I didn't go around asking, did you see the spirit of the Lord? Did you? I didn't do that. But I eased
right,
on back over there, got my food order in, sat there and ate my food. I said, I ain't get back up on this floor no more tonight. But I should have. I really should have. But I said, no, I'm not easing back in there. You used to play in that club.
Nah, no, but when Kirk Franklin came out, he changed the game. But I used to spend my summers in Orlando because that's where my grandma stayed in Tangelo Park. So the side of town that you're talking about now that everybody, you know, that has kind of took a turn for the worse over the last 5 years, that used to be the great side of town. Because, you know, I had aunties in Ocoee and Winter Garden. But Tangelo Park, which, you know, luckily it done got better because, you know, during that time, what you're talking about, it was a problem. But I used to spend my summer there. Mm-hmm.
Well, you got Dorothy Goodman here, you got Sion here, and that's where they live, near Ocoee. They live down there in Gotha, right down 50.
Okay. I know about
it. Like you're going in the Winter Garden.
I got you. But if you go too far, you're going to Clermont.
Okay, then there you is. Whoop, there it is.
That's my neck of the woods now. You know, my granddaddy, I asked him for some money one time, and he took me to the Orange Grove and Winter Garden. Now, I don't think I asked him. I went back to asking him for $10. So when I asked him for $50, he took me to the Orange Grove.
Hey, you got to make that sign. You're going to have to make $50 now I'm not quite able to, you know, help you with that $50. But Sion said God can use a caterpillar. I wanted to scream right there. Yes,
that's
he can.
It,
he can
it.
Do whatever he wants.
That's
he's it. Almighty God who have all power. There's no higher
right.
power. That's why I'm telling these church folks, be careful what you say about entertainers and people that promote or support entertainment. Be careful because
right.
you don't know what these people's prayers are. You don't know what God is doing. He made us for his pleasure. He don't have to tell us, hey, Barbara, I'm using Big Amp for this and that. Go ahead and accept him. No, God don't have to do that. I accept what God
right.
allows, and I'm good. And see, entertainers,
right.
even like Jamie Foxx, I noticed him.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie Foxx got a background. I noticed that boy
right.
Lionel Richie. Yeah, that song, Jesus is Love, the way Lionel sang that thing. Lionel knows something about
right.
Jesus. Don't fool yourself now. But the work he
right.
do, that's his job. God gave him the talent, and that's his job. And so this is what many of them do. They do their job. They go home believing God and thanking God that they made a hit CD or whatever it is. They made a hit movie and go on. I know you've heard of, I often talk about him, Michael T. Williams. He played Bubba in Forrest Gump.
Right.
He's the man talking about the shrimp. Yeah, all kind of shrimp. Yeah.
Right.
And I think Bubba got killed in the military when he was in Forrest Gump, but a Gump carried the check on over there to his family. Yeah.
Right.
So
right.
I interviewed with him here too, and he told me, he said, I am a friend of Jesus in the morning. because his brother is a pastor. You see what I'm saying? These people have
right.
somebody praying for them. Somebody had them on their mind, and they took the time to pray for them. So, we got to be careful. You know, now, I love gospel music because it inspires me and it encourages me. But every now and then, you know, I might take a listen to Loretta Lynn because I like old country. And Loretta Lynn is saying, she's saying something like, women like you come a dime a dozen, you can find them anywhere. To get to him, I got to move over. No, I'm going to stand right here. It'll be over my dead body. So get out while you can. You're not woman enough. I used to listen to all of that back in the day. Conway Twitty.
Okay, I know. Look here, I know about that because they came on TV, so I know a little bit about old Conway Twitty.
Okay, then. All right. That was my boy. Say he'd never been to heaven. He had met this woman, and he was in love with her. He said he'd never been to heaven, but he once came mighty close when he met that woman.
Yes,
boy, sir. I used to laugh. But see, I listened to all of that.
But them country songs, though, they do be telling the story because, you know, people could laugh about the Kenny Rogers song, but that was really the first kind of gangster song because he said, you got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them and know when to walk away and know when to run.
You don't count your money sitting at the table.
But see, it sounds funny, but if you slow it down and listen to what he said, like right now, you don't go snatch all your money out the ATM and just start counting it right there. You don't do that because you know that's a habit. That's a work habit. We definitely on the same page. And dialogue and fellowship like this is needed. And sometimes people do need to hear a real conversation that's not judgmental and that's not hypocritical because oftentimes we have to realize this. I understand what preacher's job is, and it's a big job. I wouldn't want it. Lord knows, I hope he ain't put that on me because I don't want it. But I'll say this. Some of these artists or performers, just the same way that the world has changed, they have the platform, and whether we like it or not, they can reach a million people in the time that it'll take another person a whole lifetime. Like, it's no disrespect. Like, of course, I'm a believer, and, you know, I was raised in Christianity. So, of course, that's my faith. But I wasn't mad at Prince when he decided to walk around and knock on doors and be a Jehovah's Witness because at the end of the day, think about it. He had to believe in something because, first of all, you Prince. People pay $250 to see you, and they stand up all day in line. And now here you is on a Saturday in your booth walking and knocking on doors. So it's things like that that humble me in terms of people will invest, and I'm not talking about money, but I'm just talking about their time and their resources into what they believe in. And so that's what I do in terms of what I believe in. No, I'm not at their level. I'm at a decent level, and I know I'm going to move higher. But one thing about it, I do the right thing with my platform, you know?
Yeah. And see, that's me. I'm going to do the right thing with my platform. Yeah, 867,000 listens. I'm going to do the right thing. Yeah. And I tell you something else. The guy that come to clean my carpet, and I had a little stand I needed him to put together because it came in pieces in the box. He put that stand together, brought his baby with him. And he told me, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. Well, it didn't make no difference to me. I told him, I said, you're a Jehovah's Witness. I said, but I have friends that are Mormons. Yeah.
Right.
I know people that are Mormons, and they'll come here and get food, and we don't talk about religion. We don't talk about politics. We don't talk about how you get to be a Mormon. That wasn't my business. They got to believe in something. And so we found a common ground. And that common ground is food, because I cook. Yeah. And so that's what they come at, you know. I have friends that's Muslim. And when they see me, they say, As-salamu alaykum. I say, praise the Lord. They say, praise him.
Okay.
And
that's right.
We go on, you know. They come at food. I need some beef, and I don't need you to cook it in no pot that the pork been cooked in, sister, to give me the headache, you know, and we go from there. Or they might give me a bean pie recipe or whatever, you know, I ask for. Ramadan come up or whatever, you know, and I say, hey, bring that wine back from Ramadan now, something like that, you know, because we have a common ground that we stay neutral to, and we don't go outside of the boundaries, you know, because we set boundaries that food is our limit and, you know, stuff like that. And we're not going to talk about Muhammad. We're not going to talk about Allah, you know, but he is God, you know, and that's just the name they gave him. But he's Almighty God. Whatever form you worship him in, he's Almighty God. But the word said we must believe in Jesus because it's the only way to get to God because he sent his only begotten son. But what you believe in, I don't knock your belief. I stay in my lane, as people say. Yeah. But it's a good thing because, like you said, because people need to know. God is, when he said he's no respecter of persons, he's not.
Right.
He'll use the pedophile. He'll use the rapist. He'll use the murderer. He'll use the alcoholic. I don't like to call him that, but the alcohol abuser. He'll use the drug abuser. If he uses a chicken, a whale, and a donkey, there's nothing God can't use. And simply because God used something, that don't always mean they belong to him. But he paid a price for them, and he made them for his pleasure. So, you know, we're not kicking and knocking against nobody. If that's what you do, let's find a ground that we can work on and keep it moving. And it's all right today. Yeah, it's all right.
Right.
And so we just keep it moving on. Now, Amp, I got to go to one more song of the morning, but just hold on. Unless you have to go. Do you have to go this morning? I know you just got home.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually do because I got two more today, and then one of them is a visual, so I got to get ready for that. But I wanted to make sure that I, A, kept my word, B, I definitely appreciate you, and I will stay in touch. And when I do my schedule, I'm actually coming to Jacksonville next week. I'm not sure exactly what day, but I will let you know in advance so that we can do a face-to-face.
Okay. Appreciate you so much. Thank you so much, sir, for coming. Big Amp, the quarterback, over there at QB1. Y'all check him out. He gave you some information for Facebook and Instagram. And on Facebook, he is Anthony G. Parker. So y'all check him out. If you got family and friends and sure enough got some talent, y'all see about it now. Y'all get about it and help him out. All right, Amp, thank you so much and have a blessed day.
All right, you in the audience as well. Have a good one.
All right. Bye-bye. Yes, sir. Big Amp, the quarterback. Yeah. And I enjoyed that with him. I really enjoyed that. Enjoyed talking with him. And I told you, he's just down to earth, plain and simple. But he a powerhouse. And he got some things going on, big things. Been in big places a long time. And he's just a good person to know, you know. And so I thank God for bringing people my way. And I accept what God allows, and I don't kick against people. I tell you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and I let it go. Because if God be for you, who am I? God can use anything. Yeah, and so I'm grateful unto him. Listen, we're going to this. Anybody have anything they would like to say, please feel free to press that number one this morning and come in. I'm going to this one song of the morning. And when we come back, if no one have anything to say, then I will pray us out. And we pray the Lord bring us back Monday morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. All right, let's go with Edith McKinney. She said when she get on, she's going to bring the whole hood with it. Oh, yeah.
Little small house, big family. 7 kids and I'm the baby. But I'm grown now and I'm like, praise the Lord. Cause everything I've been praying for is finally knocking on my door. And it's so, so loud. And I'm gonna take it. I told y'all I'm gonna make it. And when I make it, I'ma bring the whole world. I know that he can hear me now. Putting on for my town.
Damn town. Ooh.
Now I'm gonna take it.
I'm gonna take it
down. I told y'all I'm gonna make it.
I told y'all.
And when I make it, I'ma bring the whole world with it.
Right here, I got to go, and I left. Yes, I have not been back. Because, see, you got them church folks. And I don't know what happened to them, but they get so deep and all of that. And if you watch them close enough behind the scenes, they cussing folks out, cussing their husband out, and doing all kind of crazy stuff. But when they see you, they want to save you the way that they save. I don't want none of that. God saved me. I don't want you saving me because I couldn't handle it. If I let man save me, I'd still be drinking Crown Royal, smoking marijuana, and laying with men I ain't married to. So I don't need no person saving me. I need God to save me. I need him to sanctify me. I needed him to fill me with his spirit, and that's what he did. So I don't need man doing it. And everything that can nitpick and point at everything you doing, no, we're not going that way, not with me. Yeah, I got to let God be God. And you heard what he said. He was in the middle of the club. I know what he's talking about because I was headed back in the club. And that woman came and straight up drunk. I know she was drunk. Came straight up and prophesied to me. I was shocked. I'm telling you. I ran away from there and I said, oh, no, I'll never go back to another club because he told me on the ride home, if you go to the club, you're taking me to the club. If you go to the bar, you're taking me to the bar. When you go to work, you're taking wherever you go, I'm going with you. You see? He said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He'll be with us until the end. And that was not the devil talking to me. I know the difference. That was Almighty God who have all the power. And I thank him for it right now because it showed me don't judge people. Don't come against people. Yeah. Now, there are some things I have to not be with. If you're tricking God people, you're dealing with them to get the money out of their pocket, I can't be with that program. That's not me. I have to be with another program, a program that love people. That's why when you hear me pray for preachers, I pray for those that are preaching in obedience unto God and love for his people and preaching in the name of Jesus. That's what you hear me say. Because if you're not preaching because you love people and you want to help people, you may as well sit down. And a lot of people, they got the gift to preach, but they preach from their flesh. I was at a church like that. The pastor come by your house, and the girl next door, they drank and drugged and he see stuff in the house, and Sunday he preach on what he saw at these people's house. Now, that wasn't God. That was his flesh. Y'all heard me? Yeah. So we just have to be careful out here. So we thank God this morning for the interview with Big Amp, the quarterback, and we're moving right along. And if no one have anything they would like to say, I will pray us out. All right, let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity this morning, Father, to come before you. We thank you, Lord, for all you've done already. Thank you for your word today because we must quote your word. Everything is going down but your word, Father, and we thank you this morning. I thank you for this faithful few that has tuned in, and Father, I ask today that you would bless them, that God, you would move for them in a mighty way for coming with me this morning. Ask that you would bless their household, send your anointing through, to set everything straight in their homes in the name of Jesus. Send peace over there and joy and calmness and happiness to each and every caller in the name of Jesus. Bless our going today, and Father, bless our coming. And we ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Meet our needs today, Father, according to your riches in glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. We ask it all again in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of the Lord upon you. September the 12th, 2020, in Jesus' name. And want to just say good morning to your sister Dorothy Goodman. Good morning to your sister Simon. Good morning, Sion. Good morning, Bishop Grimsley. God bless you this morning. And Bishop Grimsley called me. Did he leave already? I think he left already. But anyway, I'll call him back. But Sion, A.L. in town. This is wife's birthday. So they come here to celebrate the birthday. They come by to see me last night and brought me some stuff. And I was just excited, just excited. And I have socks They're $10 a pair, but they have different type of logos on them, I guess you could call them. I have masks. I have, like, the Louis Vuitton mask. I have all kind of masks, Black Lives Matter, I Can't Breathe, all kind of different kind of masks. And if you want one, the mask sells for $10 too. So you can contact me at Barbara Mack. Contact me at Barbara Mack or Freedom Doors, freedomdoors@yahoo.com, or you can contact me on Facebook, Barbara Jean Pittman, and let me know you want one of those masks or a pair of those socks. It's the long socks. They're beautiful. And I plan to take some pictures and put them around. And if anybody know anything about Fat Joe was a rapper, and I met this artist, and he wanted to befriend me because I had an artist who drew me in cartoon. But this the new artist that I found, or brother, he found me, when I tell you he does perfect work. Just the way your picture is, that's just the way he'll draw you as a cartoon here and put color to you just like your picture. And so I did a Fat Joe mug to put it on my Facebook page so people could see his work. Absolutely excellent. And I know a lot of people may not know who Fat Joe is, but that picture of Fat Joe, that is the real Fat Joe. He did that picture. And so those who want a mug with your picture and cartoon, let me know, because he'll draw you from the picture you send me, and I'll design your mug. Y'all check out missmugs.org. Go on over there and buy your special mug and put your special pictures and words on it. All right, so at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye and have a blessed day.